Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We have in just a few minutes our flashback request. A reminder that tomorrow night I'll be on the Dennis Miller Show. I don't know what I'll be doing, and I don't know who I'll be talking to, but we'll be on a panel, and we'll rap about the things that make us angry and want us, you know, force us to want to kill. It'll be the one and only time, like I say, you get together with guys who are in the entertainment business, and you can talk some serious garbage, and there isn't anybody saying, you know, excuse me, could you watch your tone? Would you please not say raghead? Did I ever tell you I got into trouble for saying raghead when I was in the King of the Hill green room? Oh, yeah. I don't want to mention any names, but there's a certain actress of Arab descent on that show. And I was simply talking about the guys that were blowing up over in Iraq, right? I didn't mean Arabs. She got all bugged. One of these days I'll tell you who she is. But until then, you'll just have to guess. She's famous. She's been in a lot of movie magazines. And her initials are...
Come on, tell us.
No, I'm not going to do it. All right, I want to also mention, as I said, we have our flashback coming up. What are you waving at, bud? What are you waving at?
Just, I want to tell you something.
Well, come on, spit it out. Anyway, I wanted to tell you that we're going to be in Tucson, Arizona on June the 11th, I should say. And what are you pointing at, man?
I'm just want you to see something.
What?
Never mind.
You're pointing at my face. What? We're going to be in Tucson on the 11th. And what are you pointing at?
You got a booger hanging out of your nose.
Could you have told me at the break, maybe?
I didn't want to say anything.
Give me the tissue. On June the 11th, we'll be in Tucson. All right, Bob Bakian is overflying things, and Bob has a report for us on a new law that is in effect in the state of Florida, Bob, is my understanding?
No, that is correct. The state of Florida, Jeb Bush, the governor of the state of Florida, signed into a law today saying that equal force can be used. Apparently, it's called a force-with-force law, signed today by Governor Jeb Bush, that makes it clear people have the right to meet force with force to defend themselves on the street. And if you'll allow me, Phil, I can read the exact wording of the law. Force with force, of course, you can use force with force, of course, to protect yourself in the streets, of course, but you can't use force with force, of course, unless it's Mr. Ed. I'm Bob Bakian reporting.
It's very cute, Bob. Bob. 1-800-449. Yeah, is David on the line?
Yeah, he wants to talk to you.
Yeah, David?
Why is he doing shtick?
I don't know, man. You wanted me to have him on the air.
Yeah, but I don't want him doing shtick. I'm getting tired of these weather guys, news guys doing shtick, and I don't want traffic guys doing shtick. You do the shtick, they don't.
I don't know.
What do you mean the force is the force of it, unless it's Mr. Ed?
The name of the law is for...
I know what the name of the law is. Get that jackass on the phone.
Look, man, I had a couple of...
Get him back!
Bud, get him back on the two-way, will you?
All right, right away, Mr. Hall.
Thanks, bud. So, how's the wife and kids?
They're fine, man. I gotta get on with the show, okay? Bob?
Yeah, Phil. Bob Bakian.
Hey, Bob, it's David G. Hall.
Yeah, David, what's up?
Do me a favor, will you, and quit doing the shtick with the forces of force and Mr. Ed.
Well, every guy that does traffic and weather does a shtick. What's wrong with the, you know, a force is a force, of course.
No, I heard it, okay? Now, I'm telling you, you know what happened the last time, and I don't want it to happen again. So I'm saying, I'm asking you not to do any more shtick.
Are you threatening me?
Yes, I am threatening you.
Well, you can blow it out your hind end.
All right, bud, open up window 3.
I'm not afraid at all.
I get it, Mr. Hall.
What are you guys going to do?
Don't worry about it. You know, you pissed me off.
Got it, Mr. Hall.
Thanks a lot. The next time that guy comes on the air and does Mr. Ed shtick, someone dies.
Well, I guess it ain't going to be him because you just shot him.
He'll be fine.
All right, as I was saying, there were...
See, he couldn't get me, Phil. This is Bobby.
Got him again.
Good job.
All right, can we do the...
Go ahead.
As I was saying...
You don't scare me at all. No, just because you... I just want to... I... I think you guys...
Will you guys cool it? I think he's dead, man. I think you got him.
Give another blast, bud, just to make sure. That's got it.
Okay, good. No more traffic guys doing shtick. We're clear. I got it. Okay, everything's solid. So anyway, as I was saying that...
You know, Phil, that guy thinks he can get me with just a machine gun. It's going to take a... Does that work, Bob, huh? Hey, Bob, are you there? Oh, I guess that worked. Nice job, bud.
That's great. I found the blasting caps, finally.
Good.
I think he's dead, right?
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it. He's dead. That guy's in about 16 different chili... He's in about 16 different Hormel cans right now.
Okay. See, that's what happens on our show when you got weather guys and traffic guys trying to do shtick. They get blasted out of the sky, baby. All right, so anyway, we'll be in Tucson, as I was saying before I was interrupted by the explosions and machine guns. We'll be in Tucson, Arizona on June the 11th, and we will also, hopefully, God willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll be bringing with us, it's kind of a little colloquial, sort of folksy kind of reference thing, you know, kind of. And so we'll be bringing our CDs with us to sign and maybe sell, and so that'll be kind of a solid deal. By the way, did you hear last night I went on the George Norrie show? Now, George's producer is a nice guy named Tom Danheiser, and Tom comes to me and he says, hey, would you do me a favor? And I said, sure, what? He said, you know how you're always doing the Art Bell bits, and George does the AM Coast to Coast show during the week, as you know, and George does a great job. He said, well, a guy by the name of Richard C. Hoagland's going to be on the show. And I said, okay. And he says, it's his 60th birthday, so could you come on as Walter Cronkite? Can you do a Walter Cronkite? I said, I used to be able to do a Walter Cronkite impression. He said, well, this guy Hoagland used to work with Cronkite back in the day when they were doing moon landings together. I mean, when they were reporting on moon landings. And I said, all right, what do you want me to do? He said, just come on and start talking about how, you know, it was really, you know, happy birthday, but you're a real kook and all this stuff. So anyway, I got on George's show last night, and George says, well, Richard, we have with us a special birthday surprise. And so I go, Richard, I'm trying to do some bogus Walter Cronkite thing. Richard, this is Walter. And he says, hello, Walter. Well, it's just great doing all those moon landings with you. You're a real psycho, and you're a real piece of garbage, you know. So I'm just doing all this stuff. So anyway, CBS gets emailed today that Walter Cronkite's a real putz and a slob. And why was he doing all these zingers on Richard C. Hoagland? So as it turns out, George has me on his show, and then he didn't say it was a phony baloney voice. He just said, oh, well, okay, thanks a lot, Richard. And this guy Hoagland didn't cop to it. Apparently he knew after I said something. I said something to George like, you know those wind-up radios, George, that you sell? Well, they're no good for listening to the radio, but they're good for grating cheese, you know? So then this guy figured out it was all shtickeroo. Anyway, CBS got emails today saying that Cronkite, you know, his jokes are stale, and, you know, the guy's just not making it. So, I think it was cool because I could take advantage of George's audience, which is like 50 times bigger than mine. So thank you very much, George, for that opportunity to go on the air and almost get sued again. I'll probably get another letter, this one from Cronkite's publicist. You know, Phil, we really enjoy what you do, and it's really funny, but could you please, when it comes to our client? 1-800-449-8686, our buy request flashback coming up.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Here's a cool website. It's, well, basically it's a Canadian coalition against the death penalty, and they've got a whole page here, Life on Death Row at San Quentin. And it says, we at the Canadian Coalition Against the Death Penalty are in correspondence with several death row inmates awaiting their executions at San Quentin State Prison in the state of California. We've set up this webpage in an attempt to show you a little about life at San Quentin and to introduce you to some of the men that live there. And then they have California Death Row Pen Pals, California Death Row Prisoner Pages. So do they, am I to believe these cats got their own web pages? These cats got their own websites? Hi, I'm Mad Dog Russo. And it's true that I carved up 16 guys working at a gas station with a, you know, ball peen hammer, but now they got all the pictures of these cats that are on death row, and man, they look, they're just the kind of guys that you want to meet and greet and hang out with. America's death row prisoner pages. Here's Alexander, Andre Alexander. Andre is 47-year-old father on death row at San Quentin. Please visit his page for his essay on the Clinton debacle and the justice system and examples of his artwork. Watch this page for more information on his case to come. Rosie Alfaro, sentenced to die at 18 years of age. Rosie's been on death row for 8 years now, since she was 18 years old. She's on death row in California and currently resides at California Institute for Women. Her page includes her pen pal request. She's pretty hot looking, too, guys. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Where's her picture?
Why don't you make her a Bud's Babe of the Week?
That's a great idea.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Why not?
You're going to make a woman on death row your Babe of the Week?
She is hot. She is really good.
Please take a moment to click the button above to vote for Rosie's site. Rosie Alfaro. Yeah, she's nice. 33 years old, a Hispanic woman who's been on death row since she was 18. She hopes that she will receive letters of friendship and support and asks that you read her pen pal request, which follows. Rosie's pen pal request. I'm 33, birth date 10/12/71. Libra, Latin, from Anaheim, California. Been on death row going on 8 years now, incarcerated since I was 18. That's about the third time I've read that. Is that significant? I mean, I don't want to... All right, I know.
Yeah, you're getting really bitter. She's hot.
Yeah, okay, cool, man. We'll get Rosie Alfaro up in your Bud's Babe next week. I only ask that no other incarcerated people write me, as I've had bad experiences with other incarcerated men. Well, why would that be? They're all, like, innocent, aren't they? How about if you write to some of these cats that are on the Canadian Coalition Against the Death Penalty? I bet you they're just all as pure as the freaking driven snow, man. All those guys have been railroaded, baby. Rosie Alfaro, and she's in Chowchilla, California, baby. Then you go back, and they got the stories of all of these cats. Here's James Anderson, acclaimed death row artist, needs urgent medical care. Now, there's one thing that I don't notice on any of these things. They don't tell you what they did. You notice that? Here's a guy named Chaim Ben Shalom, Marshall, death row, San Quentin. Chaim is 33 years old, a California death row inmate. The photo here is taken from his time in the U.S. Army in 1983. He's currently working on a theology major from San Quentin being offered by Patton College of Oakland. His page includes his photo album with many pictures. Doesn't tell you why the cat's on death row, though, does it? It might get a little messy if they do that. John G. Brown. This case has been retired in 1999. I've been found guilty again, and I'm again on death row, having been resentenced to death for a crime I didn't commit. You got it, babe. Andre Burton. Tracy Kane. You know, the other thing I noticed, I guess black people must be really violent, because most of these guys are black. I'm joking, of course.
Yeah, it's real funny.
Hey, let me tell you something, Jackball. I ain't the guy going to stick Rosie Alfaro up on my Bud Babe page. It's time now for our flashback request. Phil, I'm driving myself crazy trying to remember a bit that was done in the past month or two. I can't recall if you were in character or which one it was, but you were yodeling and you kind of drug out the last note. Gee, that's a really specific request, man. Thank you so much for all that really careful, like it didn't take us long to find that one. What the hell? I don't know, but we did find it. Here it is. Ted Bell, Seth.
I just got to tell you, this man is so offensive. He is so misguided.
I am trying to be as delicate as I can.
The people that listen to you want to be informed. The people that listen to you, maybe some are lonely. Does that mean I don't wipe?
No, not at all. What I'm saying is, if you're lonely, you're not around people a lot.
You know what?
And if you're not around people a lot, you may behave at a dinner table like an animal.
Let me just tell you one thing. Do not promote your restaurant then.
No, I promote my restaurant.
Maybe you're
going to
give an etiquette class, because maybe some of us are not deserving of it.
What happens if people come to your class, Ted, and they're these people that you got to remind not to put a finger in their nose?
We will turn them away and give them a gift certificate for one of the rib joints. But when you said that you wanted to have this class for your listeners. I said, all right, okay. But I'm going to have to make it different from the regular one I give to my clients who have a more educated palate, shall we say. So if Heidi comes
in... So how do you determine that the people that go to your restaurant are so much or better educated than the listeners to the show?
Now, let me ask you this. Can I ask you, Heidi, what city are you calling from?
I am calling from Simi Valley.
All right. And may I ask you, because I detect a very delightful accent, what is your country of origin?
Germany.
All right. Germany and Simi Valley. Now, what do we got? We got the old ranch house, you know, can I get your bratwurst special, that kind of a thing, right?
I am sorry, but I do not have a ranch house.
Well, what, in other words, I need to say to you,
there are million-dollar houses here, and I have a house in Gustadt. You know what that is? The most expensive resort town in Germany?
Gustadt is up in Solvang.
You know what? You are not going to insult me.
No, I'm going to have to ask you,
do you wash your hands when you eat? Do you wash your hands before you break bread?
Would you give a scholar student the same test as a mentally challenged kid? Would you? No.
That's completely different.
No, it's the same thing.
You are so out of it.
You're talking
about... How can you give a mentally challenged person the same test that you give a regular person that doesn't have any challenges?
Can't. That's why I say...
You're lacking something in your brain.
If you're going to give a class to a talk radio listener, it's not going to be the same class I give to a regular person.
But do you really think that the talk radio listeners are lower class?
No, I do not.
Then,
I'm just simply
saying, please wipe.
What's wrong with that?
It's
funny the way you say it.
No, I'm just...
Because it really sounds like maybe that's where you come from. That's why you are saying it so much. Because
Heidi,
the people like me, for example...
I can ask you this question. Do you know how to yodel?
I can't hear you.
Do you know how to yodel? Can you yodel?
No, I don't know how to yodel.
Why? I don't get that.
You know,
why?
Don't those people yodel?
What those people?
The ones that come from where are you from again?
From Gustadt.
Okay, that's Germany, right? Now, when you were a little girl in the old country, there was a class system. You had the very sharply dressed SS men, and you had the rest of the folks. So you know what I'm talking about. When the SS walked around, they got a certain thing, and then you people got to go. So what I'm saying...
What do you mean, the SS? You talking about Nazis?
Do you realize the kind of person you have there?
Heidi.
This is ridiculous.
I'm saying to you...
This man is making money in his restaurant out of people like me. Because when I walk into your restaurant, you don't know that I come from Simi Valley and that I have $1 million home.
No, but when you open your mouth, I hear the German accent. And I can't have you coming in there in lederhosen with the horns on the head.
Oh, my God.
Ted, you've got this stereotype of a lady because she's an American. She lives in America. She's Americanized, I'm sure. So she's got an accent.
Well, I'm asking her, does she yodel? I'm just trying to find...
What difference does it make if she yodels, man? So let's say she does yodel.
That means she comes from a certain class of people. And if she comes from a certain class of people, I've got to remind her not to put her fingers certain places.
Oh, my God.
This was the worst thing that I could have done is to come on your program tonight and to try and be as forthcoming as I could.
Well, you know what?
Most Germans come over here with those green hats with a feather in the side. Huh? Are you married? Are you married, Heidi?
Yes, I am.
All right, your husband doesn't wear one of those green hats with a feather in it, does he? No. Right?
No, he doesn't.
Okay, so that's fine. You can come into my steakhouse. I get a guy like that coming
really?
In. I'll
so
start swinging on him.
That means if he wears his native costume,
look it.
He cannot wear his native costume.
Can you do that? If you can do that, that means you come from a certain part of Germany, and we've got to start at the beginning with you.
Oh,
wiping.
My.
Washing after the bathroom.
What the hell? That's about as deranged as it gets. There's Ted Bell yodeling. And that is a flashback request from Seth from... When was that from, Mark?
January 7th.
All right, our number 1-800-449-8686. Hey, look at this. I'm on this webpage. I don't know why. I'm on this death row webpage for San Quentin. And it shows Charles Eng. And this dude needs a pen pal. Now, do you know who Charles Eng was? The guy was a psycho serial murderer that, like, tortured people, hacked them up. And he's all, yes, I'm writing poetry, and I'd love to just hear from someone. And can we exchange recipes? I love to cook. I love to sail. I press wildflowers. I mean, this guy was unbelievable. And there he is. Well, I'll give you his address when we come back if anybody wants it. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm going to get on the line right now. I have with me Officer Merton Slauson, and Officer Slauson is with the California Border Patrol. We're talking to him from Yuma, Arizona right now. And Officer Slauson, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
And, sir, you are right now contending with a great many issues, most importantly, the servicing of our border, making sure that the that it is secure from the illegal entry by
sounds dirty.
Shut up, bud. You know, secure from people coming over the border, and I also
what are you laughing at?
That's nothing. And I also wanted to ask you again about the story that we saw that you have are contending with more illegals coming across in Arizona.
At the present time, we are dealing with that. We found a family of illegal aliens who were trying to come through the border, and we contacted the proper business to make sure that they not do this again.
All right, and I want to ask you about this. You found a family of aliens, Mexicans?
They were illegal, yeah. They were Mexican nationals.
And you had to contact a private American company?
We had to contact the... we found them in a cup of chili, Wendy's chili.
And when I get out of here.
Oh, I swear to God, it's true.
Okay.
You said illegal entry.
Does that mean Hall's on the phone?
Yeah, Hall's on the phone. What are you trying to do now?
What did I do?
You said illegal entry. We've got a license to protect.
Are you kidding me? Last night I was on the air, and we were rapping about corn dogs dipped in mayo, and you didn't call at all.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? That bit was loaded with double entendres.
These aren't double entendres.
Are you trying to tell me when I'm talking about a situation having to do with the American border and I say illegal entry, that's sexual?
You know what's going on. Now, I need for you to back off some of these blatant sexual references.
That had nothing to do with it.
I heard him, Mr. Hall.
Hey, David, can I say something?
Yeah.
When I said illegal entry, he started laughing.
I heard you laugh, too.
I was laughing because he was laughing.
Well, I don't need either one of you guys making this program a pornographic exercise in filth.
I was talking about the Border Patrol situation.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, oh, hi. Is it true some aliens came over in a cup of chili? Yeah, you're really dealing with it serious, Phil.
All right, so I'm doing shtick. It had nothing to do with sex.
I heard you laugh.
I heard him laugh.
Well, you're blaming her. Let me get this straight. You're blaming a retarded guy? A guy that had his head put through a tree?
Yeah, he's blaming me, and I'm a retard.
That's shut up, bud. Is that what you're doing?
Yes. That's what I'm doing. When I said illegal entry, he started to laugh, and then I laughed.
Aren't you guys, past the age of 13 yet, or do we need to put you to bed?
That's what I said to him.
Shut up, bud.
Look, all I'm saying is... When I started the bit, he laughed. It was a little contagious.
A little contagious. Well, Phil, the only thing I want to hear from you when you talk about contagious that'll keep you away from your job is something having to do with the drip. Good night.
And he doesn't want any sexual references.
Well, he said...
Shut up, bud. Yeah, okay. Great, man. I'll run out and get myself a dose of that. All right, now here's the thing. This is interesting. See, we're all of a sudden hooked on the Death Row website here because there's a number of stories. All of them are bull crap. Probably, maybe, I don't know. See, this is the reason why I never, ever really want to say whether a cat's telling the truth or not when a guy's on death row. First of all, I support the death penalty. 1,000,000%. By the same token, I want to make damn sure the guy that we're putting to death is guilty, right? And some of these guys, you never know. You just never know. That's why you got to give them these appeals. That's why you got to exhaust it, man. You got to look into everything, right? I think there comes a time and you got to finally say. Now, I saw this thing on HBO. It was a documentary called Reckless Indifference. Here's a kid that got screwed. Right up near where I live, out here in California, in a little town of Agoura, apparently three or four kids went to another kid's house one night. And the idea was that there was some misunderstanding as to a transaction involving marijuana. Somebody pulled a knife, and one of the kids got stabbed and died. Now, that's a crime, and the guy that did that should be in prison. However, what they did was they threw the book at all these kids. I mean, they skewered these guys. They nailed them to the wall. And one of the kids that's in life, he's in prison with life without parole. Life without parole is a kid that had, even the witnesses said, had nothing to do with it. He was standing at the door while all this stuff was going on. In other words, he didn't even touch the kid that was killed, wasn't holding a weapon, wasn't physically involved at all. The kid's name is Brandon Hine. Guess what? He's been in prison 10 years now, right? He started as a juvenile. They tried him as an adult. The guy's rotting in prison right now. Now, they figured, well, you know, this is bullcrap. We're going to win this on appeal, man. Nah, no, 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 no. 10 years later, the kid's still in the inside, rotting. Now, I understand that this kid wasn't exactly a choir boy. I get that. And I realized that he was probably involved in some stuff in his life, you know, in and out of trouble with the police. Life without parole? I mean, folks. So I'm looking at this, and then I hear the mother say, I never thought this would happen to my son. I really believe in the Jews. And, of course, I'm thinking, how many mothers down in a, shall we say, darker neighborhood have been saying that for years, and nobody listens to them at all? Okay, in other words, people in the black community have been saying for years, my son got screwed. And everybody, yeah, uh-huh, sure. Sure he did. Man, they screw up all the time with these three strike laws. It's like insane. I mean, I get the whole zero tolerance thing. I understand they don't want to have, you know, bad stuff happening in the community. But they took took the whole circumstances of this case and went ape. And it was right down there in that Malibu courthouse, the same place that threw the book at me for drinking on the beach. I'm Phil Hendry, and that's my editorial opinion. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So the guy writes, about this kid, this Brandon Hine kid. He was at the wrong place when a fight broke out. Another guy stabbed and killed Jimmy Ferris. Now, this poor kid, this Jimmy Ferris kid, his father, my understanding, is a Los Angeles police officer. And I saw the guy being interviewed on TV. This guy was obviously a bereaved, you know, grieving father, but man, he wanted vengeance. This guy wanted somebody to go down. So guess what? Maybe the right guy did, but they swept up a whole bunch of innocent guys. Guy says here that this kid, he never laid a hand on any. He was standing there, man. Now he's got life without parole. Now check this out. Charles Manson gets parole hearings. How do you like that? Now, you tell me there isn't something messed up. I swear to God, I say if a guy is guilty of murder, I say stick him in the little whatever it is this week, gas chamber, drop the pill on him, give him a lethal injection, whatever. I'm totally in favor of it. But, man, you better be sure. I mean, you can't just be icing people for no, you know, because you think maybe the guy did it. And on top of that, what's going on now, we have become so, you know, and rightfully so sick to death of crime that we're just ready to burn anybody. It's like somebody's going to go down for the count. Something happened, and we better find somebody. We don't even care if it's the right guy. That's why I tell my kids, I go, look, you, if I ever see you hanging out with the wrong guys, I'll kill you. They go, okay, Dad, you're welcome. If I ever see you guys at the wrong party, hanging out with the wrong kind of people, I'll shoot you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's wild, baby. So if you ever want some real fun reading, just go to the San Quentin website. Yes, the San Quentin website, where your pen pal is just a click away. The Canadian Coalition Against the Debt. Well, let me ask you something. What are you cats up there bugging with San Quentin for? You got a lot of Indians up there that you've locked up. Yeah, I know all about the prisons in Canada. You put all those, what you call those prairie people, in prison. The Canadian record against Native Americans is abysmal. While we were getting all the heat for Wounded Knee, the Canadians were up there. They were scalping people left and right, hanging scalps. You know, you go to the typical Canadian home today, and you will see hanging on the wall just like a guy's head with a big feather on it, you know. Well, right there is Geronimo. I bagged him. Guys up there, you're killing me, man. And then the cops, they stick the Indians in the trunks of their car to take them to jail. Did you hear about that? They do. They stick the... All right, you, what are you? Lakota, get in there. I ain't even going to stink up my back seat with you. Now, they've been investigating them for years. They're trying to get to the bottom of this, but they can't do it because the Canadians pay off everybody at Amnesty International. They throw a big party once a year, pass around big, fat, thick joints, and everybody at Amnesty International just embraces all these cats from Canada, and they don't give them any heat. Meanwhile, we get all the heat. Why? Because we're a little stingier with our dope. And if President Bush would just make, just once a year, just make a gift of, say, a couple of ounces of strawberry kush to somebody over there at Amnesty International, they wouldn't be leaning on us for all this Iraq stuff. And by the way, speaking of prison abuse, do you think Scott Peterson has lockjaw yet? I say, if you want to talk about prisoner abuse, let's start with Scott Peterson. Has he got lockjaw yet? Well, you know, he's a murderer now. Well, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, does it mean he gets tortured and stuff? I, you know, forget about the Iraqis. Man, I could stick all the underwear on their head that they want. That doesn't make any difference to me. Bacon strips and all. What about our guys over here getting brutalized? I just read here that, what's her name, Rosie Alfaro, well, she's just as clean as the driven snow, man. She's been inside since she was 18. All she did was take some kind of a pruning knife to a boyfriend. This is pretty interesting, man, this Brandon Hine case. So check it out on the website. Get educated. Read stuff on the web and believe all of it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Take a phone call. Hal, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello. I'm calling on the Phil Hendry.
Yeah, we're calling for Phil Hendry.
This is Phil Hendry.
Yeah, Phil, this is Hal Levalier, sir.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. How are you?
I'm very good.
That is excellent. That is... I want to tell you something. We get a great thrill out of your program. We listen to it every night. And we're on our way right now. You're not going to believe it, but we are flying by private aircraft here to Paris, France.
Paris?
That is correct. We're going to refuel, and we'll be on our way across the country. And God willing, and the creek doesn't rise, why, sweet living Jesus, we will be seeing the Eiffel Tower. And you got to be looking for it, too.
Now, let me... I want to ask you something, sir.
Yeah, hold on for me. You got to be looking for the Eiffel Tower.
I'm reading right now.
Read that. Yes, Phil.
Can I ask you, are you flying a small private plane?
No, well, we've got extra fuel. Extra fuel. So we're going to be great. Will you look for the Eiffel Tower in the name of everything holy for God?
Phil, hi, this is Viola Levalier, Phil.
Yes.
Don't you think a woman should be allowed to read a movie magazine?
look for the Eiffel Tower in the name of the God that died on the cross for all of us.
All right, Phil, I wanted to ask you a question about the young Brandon Hine case, because I'm very fascinated.
Well, it's an interesting story. It all started...
See, I have a grandson who is in similar circumstances. He's currently being held at the CYA, California Youth Authority, and my understanding is that he's innocent. That's what my daughter says.
Let me do it. You tell him.
Phil, our grandson is at the California Youth Authority.
Well, what's he in for?
Well, they say that he murdered a man and that he took his money. But our grandson, Danny, said that he's innocent.
And let me do it.
Phil, how level here?
Yes, one or the other get on the phone.
Right. Our grandson, Danny, assured me. I talked to them the other day on the phone. You get these phone calls, and they basically say you're receiving a phone call from an inmate at a California prison authority. And I said, well, all right. Yeah, okay, go ahead. And so he said he didn't do it. And
well, I don't know the case. I'm just simply saying that this young man, Brandon Hine, it's very clear that this kid had nothing to do with killing anybody, but they gave him life without parole because he was involved at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Well, doesn't that just tear it? You know, here, you tell him.
Phil, we're on our way to Paris. Well, you ought to be looking for the Eiffel Tower, for God's sake. Look for the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. Phil, we're on our way to Paris. This is so exciting.
I still don't know how you can get to Paris in a Piper Cub.
Let me do it. Yeah, Phil, how level are
you? Will you quit grabbing the phone from your wife?
Hold on. I told you to look for the Eiffel Tower.
There it is.
Oh, wait, Phil, I think we see the Eiffel Tower coming up right now. This is great. And,
Oh, no, that isn't the Eiffel Tower, you bitch. That happens to be an oil rig. We're in Signal Hill, California. So long!
Well, you can mistake the Eiffel Tower for an oil rig in Signal Hill. What in the name? Cat thinks he's in Paris and he's flying over J.T. Ewing's house. See you later, Hal and Viola. Sorry about your grandson. My understanding is he's innocent. 1-800-449-8686, the number of the Phil Hendry Show. Our website is www.philhendryshow.com. And, of course, each and every night we... certainly very happy to bring our radio program to you. We'd like to thank Jeff Dowder, Katie Couric, Comb Over Boy, Norm Pattis, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Bob Bacon, David Hall, Officer Slauson, and Hal and Viola for being on the program tonight. This is Phil Hendry. Until next time, Dick Clark. So long.
And the voice is done of Bob Bacon and Bud Dickman and all of those people were done by Phil Hendry. I'm Margaret Gray, and I am not a whore, despite what you've heard and read on the Internet. The Phil Hendry Show is produced by Mark Newman and Harry Shelley for the Premier Radio Network.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.